This episode of She Explores is sponsored by Subaru and the 2018 Subaru Crosstrek. Stay tuned for later in the episode when we meet writer, artist, and producer Anna Bronis, owner of a 2004 Subaru Forester. Buying a new car means having a lot of questions. Get your questions answered firsthand by real Subaru owners at meetanowner.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
I'm a link between my parents and my children and grandchildren. It bothers me that that gap will perpetuate, in effect, the same problem that I see is that we just don't know what's out there. We don't know we can belong out there. We don't know that there's so much to explore and to discover and to do. And so that gap between parents and children and grandparents and children will just continue if we don't get older people out there showing their faces.
This is Carolina Luevanos Garcia. She goes by Cado.
It's just the first four letters of my name, and it's pronounced like the last part of avocado.
Cado hadn't heard of She Explores before. A friend told her she should listen to episode number 54, which is called 50 Plus and is filled with stories of women over 50 years old. In that episode, I noted in the opening that I didn't think any women of color had contributed. Enter Cado. She's 56, born in California, and the daughter of parents born and raised in Mexico. Cado's relationship with the outdoors, in the more traditional sense, started around age 50, when she retired from work in corrections. In those 6 years, she's run 26 half marathons in 18 states. She loves backpacking. She's hiked Half Dome twice and section hiked 90% of the John Muir Trail. In short, she's made up for lost time. You just heard Cado reference the gaps that can build up between generations. Closing these gaps is something that Cado is passionate about for many reasons. Strengthening familial bonds, better understanding each other, feeling culturally connected, as well as introducing the outdoors across generations. In this episode, you'll hear instances of Cado doing the latter, reaching up a hand to her father and down to her children and grandson. Let's start at the beginning.
The interest that was instilled in me about the outdoors came from my parents. Both my parents were born in Mexico and immigrated first to Texas and then to California for financial reasons, you know, to get a better life, etc. So when they came to the country, they came for the purpose of working the fields. And so as time progressed and as my parents decided that they were going to settle in and not be migrant workers anymore, traveling literally from California to Florida, following crops. Sometimes even, and I just learned this the other day from my dad, that at times he would leave with the men to go work in Texas while my mom and my aunts and whoever else stayed back with the kids. I'm not wanting to move kids for short-term periods. All of that boils down to that my only relationship to the outdoors was working in the outdoors. And that happened from age zero on. And then all of a sudden in school, I remember it was life-changing. I was in a program, this sounds horrible, but it was called the Mentally Gifted Minors Program. And so that allowed us to do things more than just school. So they one time planned a trip to Red Rock Canyon, and we got to go and we got to spend the night. Well, we didn't camp outside because too many kids, etc. We slept in a local, I don't know what it was. It was a social hall of some sort, and we just slept on the floor. But that was my first and most impressive. I mean, we found a red racer snake. My teacher was jumping up and down. He was so excited. And it was just kind of cool. My second experience was my parents deciding that we should travel as not just myself and my brother, but we went with uncles and cousins and whatnot. We went to Sequoia National Park, and I remember the trees, and I remember Morro Rock. And I remember my mom wigging out because she's afraid of heights. And so then we had to help her down. And then she was traumatized forever. So, but I wasn't afraid. And I loved it. And I thought it was way cool. And I was really disappointed that we had to come back down very quickly.
Waikato had two formative experiences at parks. All throughout her childhood, she felt a deep connection to the earth.
Throughout my growing up, my parents love, and I think you'll find this is not unique, my parents love nature. Nature doesn't have to be climbing Half Dome, or it can be things like my mom making avocado pits grow in the kitchen window. Nature was my dad and my mom driving us up to sit and look at the wildflowers up near the Tehachapi Mountains, sleeping outside to look at the stars at night and talk, climbing trees. I remember my dad saying, oh, we're gonna get a really cool thunderstorm. You guys need to jump in the back of it, lower the, we called it the lid, but I don't know what it's called, the hatch of the pickup truck, and sit on it. My mom would take us oranges out there and we would just sit and wait for the thunder and the rain to roll through. We were allowed to play in the rain and to dig holes and to make forts out in the backyard, all that fun stuff. So we were pretty connected to the earth, but not to anything kind of outside. And I think it had to do with not having enough money. Mm. You know, it's just, I get emotional, but this is not new. This is not something that, excuse me.
It's okay.
It's so funny because I remember having a kind of, not heated discussion, but a lively discussion with my sister-in-law or ex-sister-in-law. She said kind of one of those things that, and I love her to death, so it's not, I'm not talking bad about her, but it's kind of akin to, well, if I did it, you can do it, that kind of thing. And I've read, you know, thousands of public comments on different websites and different articles about, well, nobody's keeping people. All you have to do is win. What's wrong with you? Well, no. Come on now. I had this discussion. I said, backpacking is expensive. And she said, no, it's not. I said, yeah, it is. I said, your perspective of having a steady stream of income at a high level, me, I'm on a pension. I'm retired. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's like ideal, right? But buying backpacks, buying park passes, gas, hotel rooms, you know, when you come out, if it's far away, tents, stoves, it's expensive. That's one of the things I think that kept us from being able to explore more, was because we just couldn't afford it. And I think that still happens. The second part of it is just the lack of familiarity. I mean, I'm first generation, so anything that was going to be new in the house either came through me or my mom, because my mom decided that she was going to go and get an education and do all this other stuff. She's also retired. She became an administrator with one of the school districts down there. But anything new coming into the house came through the kids, me and my brother. So I would never have thought to bring in hiking or backpacking. That's not, literally just not something that would ever come into my mind. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors for why people of color, you know, aren't more represented, but it's starting to change. And I think that for me, I thought, well, I'm retired and I don't want to say unattached, because I am married, but I don't have to babysit anybody. I don't have small children anymore. So I can explore and do what I want to do. And I have done that.
Can you tell me a little bit more about why you wanted to feel more comfortable in the outdoors as you approached retirement? Why did you want your sister-in-law to teach you?
Honestly, I did not want her to teach me. She dragged my butt out. Here's kind of the timeline. So I worked in corrections. I was 28 years a parole agent for the state of California. So when you are a peace officer, you get to retire at 50 or whenever you feel like you've worked enough to contribute into your retirement fund. So I was pretty tired and I loved it, but I was passionate about my work. So I worked really long hours. When I turned 49, I knew I had 1 year left about before my retirement. And I started thinking, what is my retirement going to look like? You start getting excited. And I thought, well, wow, you know, I'm out of shape. I don't do anything. I want to live till I'm 110. That's my goal. So what am I going to do so that I can start my retirement on the right foot? And so I started to run to lose weight in particular, but I started to run. And as I developed this passion for running, I wanted to run in a race, you know? So my first race was at Disneyland. And during that whole time, I'm talking to my sister-in-law. She says, what you need to do is go backpacking and hiking. And I said, whoa, no. There's bears and there's critters and there's no hair dryers. And she said, you need to go. You're going to love it. I love it. You're going to love it. And I said, ugh. So she eventually, as part of that my 49th year, she convinced me to go. And my very first backpacking trip was hiking Half Dome. And I tell people she snuck it in there because she knew I didn't know what I was getting into. And she tricked me. But it lit the fire. That was it. So that blossomed into a whole new way of thinking in terms of what my retirement would look like. So I think for me, I'm a psychology person, I'm a social worker, and I'm a person that wants things to happen smoothly. So I planned my transition from a working person to retirement. And I wanted to be active. I wanted to go from being afraid to having courage in different aspects of my life. Because, you know, working the work I did, you kind of had to be brave to be doing what I had to do. There was a lot of risk involved. So I had to go from being fearful in the outdoors and fearful of my own power to being courageous and being experimental. And I really, really, really wanted to go from saying no to things to saying yes to things. I think that transition from saying no all the time to being a person who says yes to things was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because now that's how I think. Somebody says, hey, do you want to do this? My first instinct is to say, yeah, no. And then I stop and I go, you know what? Let me think about that. See if I can make that work and how I can make that work. And I research the heck out of things. So I'm one of those control freaks. So I look at everything and try to figure it out from all aspects. But I tend to say yes more than I say no nowadays.
One of the things that I asked the women who contributed to the 50 plus episode, or one of the prompts that I had for people who submitted voice memos to me, was what advice they would give just like a younger version of themselves. Is there anything that you would tell yourself when you were working based on the experiences that you've had now being retired?
Well, so for me, I would tell myself to take more time off. I retired with so much time on the books. Like I said, you know, I pick something, I'm doing it, and I get pretty passionate about it, but it wasn't well-rounded. I thought I was well-rounded, but I don't think I was. You know, I mean, I had younger kids, et cetera, but still, take more time off. I look at my sister-in-law who's working. She's a teacher, although more of an administrator now, and she's still working, but she, every weekend, they go somewhere. They do something. And that's not what we were about. We were about, oh, the weekend's here. I'm going to work super late Friday night to catch up with everything. And then Saturday, I'm going to spend the entire day from dusk till dawn, or dawn till dusk, cleaning up the yard and making the house look like it's supposed to look, and cleaning up inside and getting that. Okay, now Sunday, we go to church, and now we're exhausted again, and we're just going to kick it at the house. And that's literally what we did for what I did for 30 years. Crazy. Crazy.
Kato emphasized that one of the major factors into her getting out backpacking was the trust that she had in her friend, her ex-sister-in-law. If she hadn't had that complete trust, she wouldn't have gotten out, she wouldn't be saying yes to those opportunities. Her point is that once you get past the cost, trust is such an integral element in taking the chance and getting outside.
My Instagram account that I started to document what Avi, my grandchild, and I do is called Abuela Afuera, which means grandmother outside.
And Kato told me that this trust is why grandparents and parents are the perfect people to introduce a child to the outdoors. Because that trust, it's implicit.
2.5 years ago, my daughter had a baby. And I thought, wow, this is my chance. And I keep telling everybody, my hiking partner. Literally, the day he was born, I took pictures of his feet. And I said, these feet are going to need hiking boots. But now that he can walk and run and do all this stuff, we hike. My goal is once a week somewhere. And he's up to about 2.5 miles, which is, you know, not bad. He comes home and or he gets in the car and he's out, but it's working. And so what I want to do is in him is to build an affinity for the outdoors in a different way. Not in the way of toiling in the fields, but in a way of exploring and visiting and traveling and teaching him that the world is a lot smaller than he thinks it is. And similarly, that happened actually with my son and my daughter, but my daughter didn't, it didn't take in my daughter, but in my son it did.
This happened under a starry night in Yosemite. Kato's ex-sister-in-law, the one who introduced her to the outdoors, got remarried in the Cathedral Lakes area.
It was magnificent. And of course, I had my kids go because she is their godmother. So my son, Nico, he had not ever been camping before or backpacking or anything. So he went, my daughter went as well, but she hiked back out and spent the night in a rented house. We stayed the night there. And about 2 a.m, my chicken cousin says, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Who's going with me? And so we got up, and as I opened the tent, I looked up to see the stars, which anybody who's been out there, you know how it looks. It's crazy, right? And so I woke up my son. I said, you need to get up and see this. And I thought he would complain because he's a teenager and he likes to sleep, right? He said, okay. And he got up and he looked, and then he didn't go back to sleep. He stayed up. And that, I think, did it. So he has now backpacked in the Tetons. He has hiked and camped out in all these places around the Bay Area because he's in college, and it's taken root. He said, Mom, I need a backpack. So I bought him one. I am so proud of that one accomplishment that he's going to be out there, and he does it himself. He doesn't ask for help. He's figured out the permit systems, and he doesn't feel like he doesn't belong. He feels like he belongs out there. It's not a big deal to him. It's just normal now. That's what we need. We need people to take people out and teach them little by little, like happened with me. My sister-in-law taught me little by little over a couple of years how to maneuver everything. And, you know, we've had some pretty amazing adventures, but that's what it takes. And so that's what I'm doing with the baby as well, is trying to build first the affinity and the attachment to nature, and then going to teach him how. Pretty excited about that.
Kato shares a recent trip to Death Valley with her dad after a word from our sponsor, Subaru. This episode of She Explores is sponsored by Subaru and the 2018 Subaru Crosstrek.
I own a 2004 Forester. It's blue, so I call her Blue Baru.
This is Anna Bronis, a writer, artist, and producer living in the Pacific Northwest.
I really enjoy that car because it's a great size. It's a manual, and I really enjoy driving a manual. It keeps me feeling in control. It's got really good storage in the car, and it just feels like a car that's meant for a lot of different situations. I've always identified with Subaru as a company that really cares about the people who drive their cars, and know that the people who drive their cars are people that want to be outside exploring and want to feel safe, but also challenged to seek out new places and have new adventures. And I think that that's an identity that I certainly feel is true for myself.
Want to meet more owners and get your questions answered? Head to meetanowner.com.
I said, well, Dad, I'll see you in a couple of weeks because I'm going to need to borrow your truck. And he says, why? And I said, because I want to go to Death Valley, because I've been before a couple of times by myself. I said, I want to go again. And he says, I want to go. And I'm like, I literally, my mouth fell open. And I said, really? And he said, yeah.
That day, Kata woke up feeling under the weather, and they got a late start. It was the night of the blood-red supermoon, and Kata couldn't wait to see it.
And so as we're going through, of course, it's dark. You can't see anything, and my dad thinks I'm really crazy. He's like, this reminds me of driving to Texas. There ain't nothing to see. I'm like, oh, gosh, Dad. So we get to the point, and I tell my dad that moon's going to come up any minute. I want to stop the truck, and I want to just watch it rise. And he says, okay. And so we kept driving, and I was literally, what I was looking for was kind of a mountain or a ridge or a hill, something that moon come up behind, so that, you know how it changes the perspective? It makes that moon even bigger. Yeah. And I wanted him to see that. So I finally stopped the truck and turn off everything, turn off lights. And you know, Death Valley's a dark park. There's no lights anywhere. We sat there and we just talked and talked until that moon came up. And he was like, wow, can you take a picture? And I go, Dad, I'm like the world's worst nighttime photographer. So I took one with my phone and it kind of came out. But he was quite impressed with that. So then we headed out and spent the night and woke up the next morning. And then we did, you know, he's an older person, so he's 77. So I knew we weren't going to hike deep into anything myself. I would have wanted to go explore the sand dunes and et cetera. But we went through. My favorite thing was him saying, why? How? How can this be? This is so beautiful. What makes these hills? Why are there so many colors? I said, well, see, Dad, that's why people go out. They go out because they get in touch with nature and start to wonder and ask those questions. And you feel like you're thinking about things that are not the yard and the bills and daily life things. And he says, well, yeah, oh my gosh. And so we took a turn and I wanted to make sure he saw Artist Palette, which is all the different colors in the hillside. And it was towards the afternoon, so the sun was behind us and really highlighting the colors. So I stopped and, you know, there's a very small parking lot, and I stopped and I said, Dad, come look. And so he always reads the posted informational signs and all that stuff. And I saw his shadow and I saw my shadow, and I said, hey, Dad, I said, do you think you can climb up on this? I think it was an old bench or a block of cement or something. I don't know what this thing was there for. I think it was a viewing bench. And I said, do you think you can climb up here? And he said, sure. So I got him to climb up and I took a picture of our shadows at the base of the colors. And it was amazing. And so when we came back, the first thing I did was I took that picture and I edited it so that the colors would really pop. And then also to the right size, and I had it put into a canvas for their house. So they got that, and my mom says, oh my gosh, I can totally tell that's your dad. Look how he's standing. Oh, and I can totally see that is you. Look how, literally, it's a shadow. So my mom was pretty excited, and my dad was pretty excited. And we had conversations that, honestly, I don't think we would ever have anywhere else, you know, about how he and my mom and the wedding and the this and the that and traveling from one part of the country to the other and the crazy things that happened. We had the best time, and it was only one night. You know, Bakersfield to Death Valley, it's a lot of driving, but it's a good time.
It makes me think about the kind of conversations that you'll probably have with your grandson.
Oh, yeah.
One of the reasons Kata reached out to me was because she was frustrated that the outdoor industry doesn't do enough to recognize people of color, and especially not those people who are of retirement age.
I'm a link between my parents and my children and grandchildren. And so it bothers me that that gap will perpetuate, in effect, the same problem that I see, is that we just don't know what's out there. We don't know we can belong out there. We don't know that there's so much to explore and to discover and to do. And so that gap between parents and children and grandparents and children will just continue if we don't get older people out there showing their faces. If you look anywhere else, in any other industry, I guess, they're catering to people my age, because there's so many of us. There's so many of us with money that's disposable income, because we're starting to approach the reach. I'm a very early retiree, so I'm kind of an exception in terms of how young I am to be able to say I'm retired and have been for 6 years. So that's kind of the exception. But the rule is, and just because of cohort and demographics, people my age are approaching retirement and are still active. We have things that we want to do. And having that ignored in this industry is just kind of a shame. There's a big
gap in the story's adventure. You know, I feel like I've asked you everything that I wanted to ask you. You told me some really great stories, and I feel like I've learned a lot about you and, you know, who you want to see recreating and how you want to see them portrayed. Is there anything that I didn't ask you, or anything that you didn't feel like you got an opportunity to share?
Well, I think the thing you didn't ask me that I don't actually have an answer to, but I've thought a lot about, is what can be done to get more people of color to participate, regardless of their age. And I think the only thing that, because I thought about this, and you know, people say, well, it's got to be cheaper, it's got to be more organized, people have to have exposure to it, et cetera. I think with the perspective of being an older person, I think what can be done is that we can start recruiting people who do have the time to do this, and creating programs. You have mom and me programs. You have grandma and me programs in libraries and all this other stuff. Why not in the outdoors? Why not make it so that it's grandparents or older people and children? Nursing homes have found a lot of success in bringing younger kids in, because it livens up the place, et cetera. Well, there's a natural connection between older people and children, because older people have patience. Older people have time. Older people might have more money, and they have more wisdom and awareness. So somehow, if there was a way to do that, I think that would be a huge step forward, because it would increase the activities, but it also plants a seed for future generations. It erases the gap between not knowing how to participate and knowing how to participate. So I just think that would be a cool thing to have happen. I don't know how it would happen or who would take that on, but it would be, I think, even if groups that are already established held special days for this kind of event. You know, there's a lot of organized hikes with REI. There's a lot of organized hikes with Latino Outdoors. There's a lot of organized hikes with Outdoor Afro and all the other different groups. You know, why not organize something based on generations?
Big thank you to Kato for both reaching out and taking the time to chat with me. I hope everyone listening recognizes her call to action to both lessen the gap between generations and the outdoors. Thank you to our sponsor, Subaru. A great way to stay connected to this show and meet other listeners is by joining our She Explores podcast Facebook group. There we talk about episodes, give each other outdoors advice, trip recommendations, and share other resources. If you enjoy She Explores, please subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Even better, let a friend know about it. Music in this episode is by Josh Woodward, Lee Rosevere, Kay Angle, Swelling, and Dobsey. Until next week, bye.